If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Tomorrow starts a new year. And I just want to say, I really just want to talk to you from a pastor's heart this morning. It's probably going to be a little bit more devotional and teachy in some ways than preaching. But with tomorrow being the start of a new year, I just want to say simply this. The best thing that you can do for your own soul, and when we say soul, the best thing, the soul is comprised of three parts. The best thing that you can do for your mind, the best thing that you can do for your mind this year, and the best thing that you can do for your emotions this year, and the best thing that you can do as it relates to the choices that you make this coming year is to saturate yourself with the truth of God's word. That's the best decision that you could make for 2024. And the title, I guess, for today, and what I want you to see is simply really the sweetness of studying God's word. My heart for you, really my heart for my family, my heart for me personally, what I want more than anything is I want God's word to be what, in me personally, what David writes about in Psalm chapter 19. And if we had a big idea, it would be simply this. Do I have a big idea? Did I come up with a big idea for this? Yeah, you can put it on the screen. When I pause like this, it's like I don't remember what it is. So, studying God's word. When we go into this new year, every one of you should have gotten something that looks like this. This is just a tool. I'm not saying it's the thing for you. This is simply, if you read a chapter of the New Testament a day, 5 days a week, you'll go through the whole New Testament this year. It's a tool. You might have your own tool as it relates to studying God's word. You might be a person that reads through the whole Bible in a year. You might be a person that reads like Robert Murray McShane and reads through the Bible 3 times in a year. I don't know. But here's the thing. What we don't want this to be is, and notice there are no check boxes on this thing. It's a little bit purposeful. Because we don't want studying God's word to be a task to be checked. Check. 1 for 1, check. 2 for 2, 3 for 3, 4 for 4, blip on the radar, missed a couple days, 7 for 9, 8 for 10. It's not a task to be checked. We want it to be a time to be cherished. That's the goal. Not a task to be checked, but we want the Holy Spirit to change our thinking. It's a time to be cherished. And listen, the reason why we're talking about this morning, obviously with the start of the new year, but there's no spiritual discipline that is probably more important to the intake of a Christian because it affects, God's word will affect our mind, it will affect your emotions, and it will affect your decisions. So the drummer that's here today, I want to say, Zach, what's his name again? I'm sorry, he's visiting today. Cam, you have the coolest hat on today, by the way. Because it says, trust God and chill. We did a whole series on trusting God a few months back. But the only way you can trust God and chill is if you're in the Word on a regular basis. Because the Word will minister to your emotions. We're going to see that in the text this morning. It's no spiritual discipline that's more important than the intake of God's Word. I came across this staggering statistic not too long ago. You can go to the next slide. This is a poll that was conducted amongst Protestant Christians. So, you know, there are a lot of Christians, you know, you're Roman Catholic Christians, but this is a poll amongst Protestant Christians. And the question was asked, how often do you read the Bible? And only 32% of Protestant Christians could say, I do it every day. And then another 27% said maybe a few times every week, then 12% once a week, and then another 10% whatever once a month. But the point being is like really only about 50% of Christians read the Bible regularly. And so my encouragement to you is, I don't know where you are in that statistic. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm trying to encourage you as we begin a new year, fresh start. I love New Year's because it gives you a fresh start, right? Hopefully even today, you'll take some time just really prayerfully thinking about, God, what might you have for me this year? And I know some of you don't like resolutions, but probably the reason why you don't like resolutions is because you never fulfill those resolutions, right? It's really difficult in and of ourselves to do anything. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us so that we can fulfill those resolutions. So this isn't duty-driven Christianity. If we come to this passage this morning, like I'm just like, kind of like you have this personal trainer up here, which I'm not, obviously, but like, come on, you can do it. Push the weight up. Like, that won't work. That won't work. You need the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper that we sung about, the Holy Spirit that we sung about this morning. You need him working in you. So it's you taking some time, even as we go about this, hopefully, and we take some time between now and, you know, tomorrow to take some time and just get alone with God and talk to the God, like, Holy Spirit, work something in me this year. Give me a desire. Now, there are going to be days when you wake up and you're not going to desire God's word. You're not. And I like the way John Piper explained it. He's like, when I get up of those days, and when I don't desire God's word, I do the duty of reading God's word. And I hope and I pray and I ask the Spirit that as I'm doing my duty, it becomes a desire. Does that make sense? I do that quite often. Lord, I really don't feel like reading my word today. I need you to show yourself to me in a more special way. I need you to fire me up. I'm a little parched right now. I'm a little dry. I need fresh insight from your word. I need to see things a little bit differently because I'm coming to you just a little bit dry. Like, have that honest conversation, and I guarantee you, if you really get honest with the Lord, that Holy Spirit that's living inside of you, he's going to flame up something within you, and you're going to be glad you got in the word, and that duty will end up becoming desire. You know, it's fascinating to me that the average person, you know, we say, man, I just don't have time to read God's word, right? I don't have time to read God's word. But you know, the average person spends over 4 hours a day on their phone. It's the average person. An hour and 56 minutes is spent on the top 5 social media platforms. Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter. Is that what it's called, X? Right? The Gram, Snapchat, YouTube, hour 56 minutes, 2 hours a day on that. But what if I told you to read through the Bible, to read through the Bible in a year, it's about 9 minutes a day for an average reader. 1 hour per week, we're talking. You know, for the average reader to read the New Testament, if you just like opened up the New Testament, average reading speed, if you started reading the New Testament, it would take 11 hours and 30 minutes. New Testament, or Old Testament, excuse me, is 39 hours and 26 minutes. So really, 2 quick goals for today as we dive into Psalm 19 really quickly. I want to show you from Psalm 19 why you should read God's word. And then I'm going to show you how to read God's word, kind of like what I do oftentimes. So in the passage we're looking at this morning, we see 6 reasons why we ought to study scripture daily. And I'm going to read the verses as I guess I'll read it to you now. Here we go. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You know, many of you are probably familiar with the man C.S. Lewis, right? And C.S. Lewis said this about this psalm. He says, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. He loved Psalm 19. And if you read his writings, you wonder why a guy could have such a sharp mind as it relates to the things of that are eternal. Well, it's because he loved God's word. And the reason it's the greatest Psalter, I believe, is because in this psalm you have, it's all about divine revelation. In verses 1 through 6, which we're not going to cover, verses 1 through 6 is about general revelation, and 7 through 11 is about special revelation, the word of God. And so today we're going to look at 6 reasons for you to stick with this Bible reading plan, or to get a Bible reading plan and stick with it, all right? They're right in the text. 6 reasons to study Scripture daily. Studying God's word, number 1, will elevate my worship. Will elevate your worship. And I'm not just talking about like corporately here on Sunday morning when we're fired up and we're jacked up and man, what? Hey, wasn't that great today, by the way? Great voices, great time of worship. But I'm talking about Romans 12, 1 and 2 worship, where every day is an act of worship toward God. The way I respond to my wife in the heat of the moment, the way I treat my kids when they disappoint me, everything I do is an act of worship. And so if we want to elevate our worship, we need to be in the Word. It's kind of like, I don't know, we have this plant like in the front of our house. And it gets a lot of sun. And, you know, there are times in the summertime, you know, where, and I'm too cheap to water my lawn. I'm that guy. You know what I mean? I'm not wasting money on watering my lawn. All right? I don't have that kind of money. And so every once in a while, the plants may or may not get watered. Okay? We have this one plant. It's like, if you're looking at our house, it's all the way to the left. And when it gets really hot, man, that thing starts drooping. You know what I'm talking about? That thing starts sagging. And then we'll get like one of those storms, one of those July storms at around like 6 o'clock, and it just downpours for about 9 minutes. But we get like 3/4 of an inch of rain, you know what I'm talking about? And you'll go back out there like 30 minutes later, and that plant looks totally different. You know what I'm talking about? No, it's no longer sagging. The color is already beginning to turn. It goes from sagging to upright. It's been revived. It took this plant that was going the wrong direction, and it was really it was dying, and now all of a sudden it's revived. That's what God's word does to you. When listen, we have those hard times when we feel like we're in the desert, and the trials are difficult, and we're wondering, where are you, God? That's why you need to get in Scripture. Because according to this verse right here, Psalm 19, verse 7, says that the law of the Lord, and by the law of the Lord, we're talking God's word and like, you know, the Mosaic law, but it's kind of used interchangeably, but the Old Testament, the law of the Lord, the word of God, is perfect and it revives. It revives the soul. Second reason, we should enjoy God's word and look at this as a time to be cherished, because look at this, studying God's word will enhance my wisdom. I don't know what just happened. Oh, all right, so it's good there. I'm looking at something else here. Okay, it's perfect. Everybody take a look, turn around. That's what I'm looking at. Isn't that weird? Like, what is going on? Studying God's word will enhance my wisdom. It's fine. Hey, it's fine for me. It might not be fine for them, so you might want to get on it. Studying God's word will enhance my wisdom. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So one of the cool things to celebrate every week as we have our time of offering, we always like to remind you, like, hey, because of your gifts, because of your faithfulness, your generosity, your obedience to God and participating in worship through your giving, like, look at everything that's been going on around here, right? And so it's like the small things in life that I sometimes like. You know what I'm talking about? And one of the small things in life that I like are these steps right here to the stage. So excited about those steps. It's the little things for me. But my son and I, my oldest son and I, we came in here this week. I'm like, dude, let's attack the steps. Let's attack the steps. And so I was like, I began to panic because I opened up the crate and there are no instructions. I don't have the intuition to figure out anything mechanical, okay? I needed my instructions. I wanted to know what to do. I needed something to show me the way. I want to get it right. Listen, you want to get your life right this year? Having a few regrets about 2023? Get in the Word. It will enhance your wisdom. Look back at the verse. It says, the testimony of the Lord. It's sure, it's certain. And it says, it makes wise the simple. It will, God's word will reveal to you the way you ought to live in 2024. The decisions that you want to get right. Get in the Word. Third reason, study scriptures daily. Studying God's word will, number three, this is huge, erase my worry. Remember what the soul is. The best thing you can do for your soul is study scripture. And oftentimes, life situations, you know, we had, just yesterday, I got a text from my mom, hey, Kathy Ruthier died. Kathy was someone who's so, so close to our family growing up. She was like, you know how you have family, but like family that aren't family, but they're really family, and sometimes even more important to you than family? You know what I'm talking about? And so this was a lady that I just loved immensely. And it's like your heart sinks when you hear that news, right? And then it was just hearing her husband, the text that he wrote about her and how she went to be with Jesus and how it's just a joyful time because she knew the Lord and how she literally just transitioned into eternity. The way you transition into the next room, you just stop into the next room. Step into the next room, excuse me. That's exactly what she did. She's living eternally. She's not dead. But I look at someone like Steve Ruthier, look at others who have gone through hardships recently. It's like, how can you have hope during uncertain times? When your soul is agitated, when it's stirred up, when there's turmoil in your life, how can you have joy? How can you not worry? Well, here it is right here. The precepts of the Lord. And in Psalm 19, there's like different ways that scripture is referred to. It's like interchangeable. So like the law, the precepts, the testimony, it's all referring back to God's word. And it says the precepts of the Lord, they're right. They're right. And here's what they do. They rejoice the heart. As you saturate your mind with scripture, it's like Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, I'd encourage you, go read Psalm 1 today. Where you plant your tree, where you bend your mind toward, it's going to teach you certain things. It's going to cause your thoughts to go a certain direction. As you saturate yourself with scripture, when the hardships come, that's why I tell people, like, the fruit of the Spirit, they're called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the believer. Like, you can't manufacture the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, you know, self-control, all those things. Like, you can't be like, all right, they died, I'm going to be joyful. My husband just acted like a complete knucklehead toward me, I'm going to exercise self-control. That person in the car, anybody experience road rage? That's when I need the Holy Spirit, man. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a work of the Spirit. So what I tell people, it's like, it's really cool when you know yourself really well in the things that trigger you. You know, we use that word a lot, trigger. Like, what triggers you? You know what triggers you, and then all of a sudden, it's like, but I didn't get triggered. That was supposed to trigger me, but I didn't get triggered. How come I just didn't get triggered? I was supposed to get triggered. The reason why you didn't get triggered is because the Holy Spirit's working in you, most likely. And you find yourself like, when that happened, I was joyful, like, or I exercised self-control. That's the work of the Spirit in you. You can take no credit for it because you know what you usually do or want to do even. And so the whole point here, it's the same thing. When you saturate your mind with scripture, when you understand the gospel rightly, not just that it saves me for eternity, but the gospel of sanctification, you're going to have joy. It's going to erase worry. So, studying God's word, number one, it elevates my worship, it enhances my wisdom, it erases my worry. Number four, it enlightens my walk. It enlightens my walk. You know, we've all, you know, I don't even have to use an illustration for this. We've all, you know, just yesterday, Jake and I were at a buddy's church, and he was giving us this tour of the church, and we're kind of like backstage, and it was like this really dark room, and there was a chance that we could get tripped up. So what does he do? He turns his, grabs his phone, right? And you have the flashlight app, and you just create the path. You won't get tripped up. You won't stumble. You won't fall. Listen. Listen. There's no such thing as Christian perfection. No such thing as Christian perfection. But there should be direction in the Christian life. Never perfectly. We're never going to do things perfectly, but always increasingly. Okay? And so as we're navigating life and as we're walking through life, we don't have to get tripped up. We don't have to stumble. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the word of the Lord. We have everything that we need for life and godliness, the Apostle Paul says. So here in this verse, you go back to the commandments of the Lord, the commands that God gives us, that we know that sometimes we choose not to obey, though, right? We know them. But the commands of the Lord, like, they enlighten us. They direct us down the right path. They will enlighten us in our walk, which leads to our fifth reason why we study God's word. It will enrich our well-being. It enriches us. The fear of the Lord, verse 9 says, is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then verse 10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. All right, I'm going to age myself real quickly. Remember when like there were like hymns and Maranatha praise music, and that's it? Remember that? Remember, some of you are like, what's Maranatha praise music? And there's this one Maranatha praise song. It was out of Psalm 19. You remember that one? I remember when I was a little kid, we're in a more traditional church, and I'm thankful for the traditional church that I grew up in, and I'm thankful I'm no longer in the traditional church that I grew up in. But I really am thankful for it. but we would open up Psalm 19, and we would sing this song. It goes, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Remember that song? "Restoring the soul, the testimonies of the Lord." You remember that song? I used to love that song. And I loved it because I remember as a little kid, we would sing that song, and it would just be like, oh, I love that. And it really, I wanted to understand, why do I like that song so much? And I remember getting to this verse right here, "More to be desired are they than gold." Because I was like 7 or 8 years old, and gold was a big deal, right? I guess it's still a big deal. But I remember like, wow, I should love God's word. I should desire God's word more than gold. And if I desire God's word more than gold, it will be sweetness to my soul. I remember making that connection. Like, brothers and sisters, you got to make that connection. You are doing yourself a disservice if you leave here today and you haven't made the connection of God's word being sweet to your soul. Honey, in the Old Testament, it was like a balm for healing. Even today, people will occasionally use honey. All you like nature moms out there, you essential oil people, you know who you are. Identify yourself. Grab your little honey, use it as a balm, right? But also his sweetness. It's God's word. That's God's word right here. It's a healing agent. It will enrich you. It will make you better. It will bring sweetness and joy to your life. It will enrich you in 2024. I mean, some of you, you have like, you do checkbox Christianity. Came to church. I, when I'm in town, I go to church. I'll occasionally read my Bible. And you wonder why you struggle with the same sin. You wonder why you're an emotional roller coaster. You wonder why you go to bed fearful at night, wondering if you know Jesus as your Savior. Like all those things, like this is it right here. This is it. I promise you, this is it. Immerse yourself into God's word. It will enrich your well-being. It'll eliminate the fears. It'll bring joy to your heart. It'll bring clarity for direction. And then last but not least, sixth reason to study scripture daily. It's found in verse 11. It says, moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. It energizes my ways. It gets me excited because I like rewards. Some of you are really spiritual. Like, I don't need a reward. I do it because I love Jesus. Good for you. That's awesome. We should do it because we love Jesus. But I like rewards too. I was talking to another pastor recently. You know, as pastors, we get really transparent with each other sometimes. I said, man, you know what one of my biggest fears is as a pastor? It's going to happen to all of us, by the way. Paul writes about this in Corinthians. It's going to happen to you, not just me. We're going to be at a thing called the Bema Seat. And God's going to take all the good things we've ever done, like planting churches, and preaching sermons, and getting up late at night to bail people out of jail and give counseling. He's going to take all those things, and he's going to send them through this furnace. And some of it's going to just get torched and burnt up, and not everything else is going to come out as a reward that I'm going to get for Jesus. Because some of it is for Matt McCarthy personally. It's for Matt's kingdom that he's building. I did it in that light. Make sense? Rather than as an act of worship for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And scripture says, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a sobering verse. Sometimes I can't even know my own heart. And so my fear, I was telling my buddies, I'm like, man, I just hope everything I'm doing is driven by doing it for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. Like this scripture, you get into the word this year, you're going to get warnings. Watch your heart, guard your heart, watch your ways. God, your thought process. Warning signs everywhere. Warnings. But if you keep them, it's like it keeps you accountable, right? It's like that person that you know, I got to go to the best thing you can do for yourself if you really want to get fit is get an accountability partner, right? When you know, like, dang it, they're there. I got to go there. I got to get out there. They're waiting on me. Same thing right here. Like, this is your accountability. This is your accountability. God's word is your accountability. It's great to have an accountability partner. I just told you, I have a pastor that I share stuff with. Every person should have. Your spouse, to some degree, can be your accountability partner. But every person in this room, you should have an accountability partner. Someone that is probably, that isn't just going to be okay with your sin, by the way. Oh, yeah, we're all sinners. No. Cancel that. Accountability partner. We're allowed to cancel people these days. Cancel them. Get yourself an accountability partner that's going to push you toward godliness and toward Christ-likeness. But more than an accountability partner that will do that, you have God's word right here. God's word. Who will hold you accountable. And it'll energize your ways. So, really quickly, as we apply our time in God's word, I want to show you how you can read the word on your own and experience firsthand what David's writing. So, if we go to the next slide, I use a method, or I try to use this method. I don't always do this, so It's by a guy by the name of Robbie Gallaty. I think he's the one that started it. You can look him up, Robbie Gallaty. I think it's called Long Hollow Church. Long Hollow Church. And he uses this method called hear. Hear. You want to hear from God because it's God's word. You want to hear from God. And so as you read, highlight what sticks out to you. So just what sticks out to me in this passage today, in this one chapter I'm going to read. And I would encourage you, like, if you've never really been faithful in reading God's word, just take this little tool right here, read one chapter. And as you're reading, get yourself some Micron 01 pens. They're the best. We're going to have them in heaven. Micron 01 pens. And get yourself maybe a 6-inch ruler. Or you could probably even use this if it's folded better than the one that I got. Sorry, whoever folded them. Or get our blue little discipleship thing. You know, have that in your Bible. I use that blue little discipleship card every morning. That's what I use every morning. And I get my Micron 01 pen, and there are things that jump out to me as I'm reading God's word. And I'm a nerd. I nerd out with the Bible. I'd encourage you to nerd out with the Bible. Jesus is probably nerdy too. Being nerdy with Jesus. It's fun to get nerdy with Jesus. And get a few different colors. So for like blue, anything doctrinally related that I want to underline, I underline with blue. Anything that is like a command and application oriented, I underline with green for growth. And then anything more like gospel-ish, I underline with red. This is what I do. Get your own system. Develop a system. But it's really cool. So if you open my Bible and you turn my Bible, it's like all these different colors. But point being is highlight what sticks out to you. So for example, yesterday I was reading Corinthians, and I was in 1 Corinthians. One of the chapters I was reading yesterday is 1 Corinthians 4. And so this is just an example from me from yesterday, all right? One of the verses I underlined, one of them, I underlined a bunch. What I do is I underline a bunch, and then I go back and read the verses I underlined, and I want to see, I say, God, speak to me. Of these verses that I underlined, like, there's something here for me. It captured my attention already. I want to hear more powerfully from you. And so the one that really jumped out to me was 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, which says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That was the verse one of the verses I underlined. And so next, if I want to hear from God, what you do is you explain it. You explain it. You take that verse, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, and what you do is you put it in your own words. Does that make sense? And so what I did is I wrote down, here's the verse, I'll read it again. Moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. So I explained it this way. Because God's requirement of me is that I am to be faithful as a steward. Like, this isn't an optional verse. God's requirement of me is to be faithful as a steward. I put, I must make my focus faithfulness and not fruitfulness. Because when you're like a high D on the disc, like, you're all about results. I want to see some results. I want to see this thing moving, man. We got to get moving. Come on, right? That's the way I'm wired. And so the Lord's like, Matt, don't focus on fruitfulness. You need to be focused on faithfulness. That's how I explained it. So this leads to A, apply. Here, we're trying to hear from God. How will this change me then? Verse again, moreover, it's required of stewards that man be found faithful. Because God's requirement of me is that I'm able to be faithful as a steward, I must make my focus faithfulness on fruitfulness. Well then, apply. How will this change me? I put, based upon this verse, I need to start praying a little bit differently. I need to start praying about Matt being more faithful in areas than Matt seeing fruit in areas. Does that make sense? I need to pray a little bit different. And then the other thing I wrote down is I need to start thinking about myself a little bit differently. Meaning, Matt, it's not your job to manufacture fruit and results. You need to just focus on being faithful. And then the last point is R, and you respond. You respond. You take that verse, you respond, and you have a prayer of commitment. And it doesn't have to be like a super long prayer. It's like, Holy Spirit, reveal to me ways today where I'm more focused on fruitfulness than faithfulness. Holy Spirit, show me today when I'm not being faithful to you. Holy Spirit, have other people speak into my life that will be real with me if I'm stumbling in this way. Have them help them to have the eyes to see. So that's how you hear from God. Like that's just, and it doesn't have to be a long thing. Like that took me like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But now I heard from God and he ministered to me personally. So if you go back to those six reasons to study scripture, like now that truth will erase my worry. I don't have to worry about results anymore. I don't have to worry about big church. Make sense? It's going to elevate my worship because it corrected me in my thinking about, Matt, it's more important for you to be faithful than fruitful. I'm going to worship God better. Are you connecting the dots? It did everything. Like, following that method does everything that Psalm 19 says is the reason why we study God's word. So, I want to encourage you. This might not be your plan. But I would encourage you, get a plan. So I'm going to throw out a couple ideas for you. There's this thing called the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, you're missing out. You're going to love it. So it's free. That one's free. YouVersion Bible app. Get that. And you can set up your own plan. They'll even remind you on a daily basis, like, you haven't read your Bible in 14 days. Like, well, because some of us are more spiritual, we actually have a Bible with paper. Well, that's for another sermon to preach. That would be my opinion, so I'm not going to say anything. But another good resource to check out is called the Gospel Coalition. The Gospel Coalition is a great website that I would encourage you to try to go there every one or two times a week. They've got great articles about current events. They have church history stuff. They have theological things. But the same reason why you go to ESPN.com or, you know, your favorite newspaper or whatever it is, like, get the Gospel Coalition, mark it on your internet or on your phone, whatever it is, and start going to the Gospel Coalition. On the Gospel Coalition, they offer a bunch of different plans for daily Bible reading. That Robert Murray McShane plan that I mentioned, like, read through the Bible 3 times in a year, that's on there for you ambitious people. Just remember, your ambition to read it 3 times a year doesn't make you more spiritual than the rest of us who are only going to read through the New Testament this year, okay? Another great resource is Crossway, Crossway, one word. They've got some great plans. You can get the ESV study Bible on your phone. So you have a study Bible on your phone. I think it's like $20. It is a great resource. Sometimes I'll just plan a sermon with just my ESV study Bible. It's so rich, has so many good things in there. And then last but not least, you know, there's this, but there's a bunch of stuff that you can get. I just want you to get something. You know, the Holy Spirit right now, some of you is like, he's on you right now, and you like feel the heat. You're like, yeah, I got to get with this. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I just want to have a moment where we can talk to the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads, and I want you at your seats, just talk to the Lord about 2 or 3 things. The first one is simply this. Let's get still. We'll wait for these guys to settle. I really want us to be still. I want us to bow our heads. And the first question, or the first thing I want you to talk to the Spirit about is simply this. Holy Spirit, what's the Bible reading plan I need to have for this year? Might be New Testament plan, might be Old Testament plan, might be both, but just talk to the Spirit, direct me, guide me. Now that you have your plan, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal maybe 1 or 2 ways that you want God's word to grow you this year. Just 1 or 2 ways. We don't need 15 ways. Just 1 or 2 ways in the stillness of the moment. How do you want to grow this year? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the word. How do you want to grow? And once you have those, if you'd grab your phone, and I want you to write them down. Hold yourself accountable. Just take a moment. Close out our day in just a minute here. We want to have markers so that next year, 365 days from now, you can see the power of the Spirit and the way that He worked in you as a result of you committing to dive a little bit deeper into God's Word by you simply asking Him how to grow. When you're ready, stand together. Let's close out our time and our year together corporately by exalting our Savior with a hymn of praise.